Hello and welcome to the Odds Checker betting show. This is your Cheltenham Festival Day 3 preview. I'm your host, George Ellick, and as I was for Day 1 and for Day 2, I'm delighted to be joined by our expert panel of guests. We've got, to my left, Johnny Ward, Odds Checker's tipster Andy Holding, and Ed Quigley on the far side. We'll get straight into the racing. We've already done our peasantries early on and spoken about the weather forecast and whatnot, so we'll go straight into it. Going to be talking through the grids up on the Odds Checker site, so these are all going to be non-runner, no-bet prices, and you can find that up on the site and also on the app as well, where you can find the best prices, bookie offers, free bets, and plenty more, including Andy's tips straight to the app every single morning of racing. But we'll kick off here with the Turner's Novice Chase. Going through the market, Factorfile is still in there as a 7-4 favourite, but trading on the exchange at about 40-1. I think we all can agree, unlikely to take up the entry here. So Grey Dawning is 11-4 favourite ahead of Ginny's Destiny at 3-1, Gaelic Warrior 4-1, Facile Vega 5-1, Oroco 5-1, Founder 50 10-1, Ilete Tomp 10-1. Plenty of these, Andy. Probably unlikely to take up their entry. We are recording this on Thursday morning, so we'll find out more in about 24 hours or so. But looking at the market and the Turners as it is now, who do you see as being the value?
I don't think there's a huge amount of value because of what you just said. I think the conjecture surrounding Gaelic Warrior and perhaps to a smaller degree Facile Vega casts a little bit of a cloud over it so far. I think the dynamics of the race will look different if one of those two are in it. I've got a sneaky feeling they might run Gaelic Warrior in the Arkle, which we've already touched upon. It makes sense perhaps for him to go down the 2 mile route because the 2.5 mile would be more chance for him to jump out to the right. And this is a different track as well. So that's my gut feeling with him. So let's say he doesn't run here. Facile Vega lines up. I think he's a worthy Willie Mullins representative, the main one. The theory behind him is he looks as though he'll definitely appreciate 2.5 miles. I don't know what the lags think, but he just seems to just constantly keep getting outpaced. One or two of the races he's running, admittedly, have been a little bit slowly run, so they become a dash for the line, and I don't think they've played into his strengths. But he does come alive here at Cheltenham. His last two runs, winner of the bumper and second in the Supreme, is the standout hurdle form going into this. And I was looking at a few stats of this race prior to sort of getting my teeth into it. The winner's often rated in the 150s upwards. And they've also had the 11 winners of this race have all had previous Cheltenham Festival form, which Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawning haven't got. Mm. So from a class perspective and from a horse that's likely or could improve for a step to 2.5 miles and is a class act, then I think Facile Vega is probably the one I'm more leaning to. But that's not to disregard totally Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawning. Two really strong representatives from the UK. Ginny's Destiny, very strong in our time figures last time out. Although it was a handicap, it's a race that's produced Cheltenham Festival winners before. His jumping's immaculate. He's got a touch of the stage stars about him. He won that race previously. Obviously from the same yard. And he'll go off in front and you've got to jump well and stay well to beat him. Grey Dawning might have done that had he not made a mistake 2 out at the previous meeting. I think the reason Dan Skelton's coming here is probably because he feels as though that's the one to beat. We've got a bit of unfinished business, if you like, and they don't want to perhaps take on Factorfile and stay away Faye. So a cracking race as it is, not even to mention Oroco. I'm sure the lads will touch upon him as well. At this very moment in time, I'm leaning towards Facile Vega, but that one isn't in tablets of stone yet. It depends on how the week's going before I really do make an outright selection from my column.
Johnny, what have you made of Facile Vega's start to life chasing? You know, we saw impressive winner at Navan and then a couple of disappointing performances at Leopardstown since then.
Yeah, his bubble has burst to a large extent, but like as Andy said, the one thing is he's been more missed than hit generally at Leopardstown, so maybe I'm going to give him an out. He's a very, very strange action, the way he runs. To be honest, like when we spoke about the Arkle, I actually would like him in the Arkle because I'm not entirely sure that he actually does want a trip. For all that on pedigree, he does. For me, he was always a very flashy, fast horse. Gaelic Warrior is kind of, I guess he's well named as an Irish kind of, with an Irish name. He's a warrior, but he's extremely wayward, you know. And I mean, I just would not be running him at Cheltenham. He's 0-2 at Cheltenham. You know, Andy makes a good point about the different tracks. I'd just be wary of running him. I think he's such a good horse. I'd probably stick him to going the other way. And it's weird, like we spoke about that stat earlier on. Three horses in single figure prices on day one at Cheltenham trained in Britain, and the Brits could have the first three in the betting here in this race alone. It's the one race where the Holmes horses are very strong. I really like Oroco here. I just love how he got up the hill last year, and that for me, Andy's talking about previous course form. I know he's only had one chase start, which is a slight negative, but I don't think it's going to be a particularly big field, and he jumps very well. He just looks perfect for the race, and at 5-1 each way, I can't knock him. For all that Andy says, we're not entirely sure who's going to turn up here, but I kind of get the feeling wherever Fasal Vega goes this week, he's going to be backed, because he's been nearly odds-on favourite most of his life. He was disappointing at Leopardstown, but there was some suggestion that Willie Mullins was saying he wasn't working overly well over the last week or so. So I'd be wary of that. But Oroco for me. And if you're getting involved in the JP McManus, what is he, 4-6 for five or more or whatever, you'll probably be in a good place at this stage.
Yeah, Oroco 5-1 across the board with all firms. Fasal Vega standout 5-1 is with Coral, generally 4-1 or 9-2 around most all firms currently paying a fifth of three. I think with this race cutting up as well, you're unlikely to get more than that. Ed, how do you see it?
Yeah, I've got the line at 8.5 for runners in this. Kind of exciting life.
Five, I lead. Six each side? Or?
Yeah, on a Sunday night, sitting there watching the Antiques Roadshow, going through how many runners will line up in the turners. I'm thinking, yeah, we're looking at 8 or 9 runners. See, it's interesting, Paul Townend on a preview night the other night saying if it was up to him, he would run Fasal Vega in the brown advisory.
Wow.
He wants the horse over a trip. It seems like everyone in the yard wants the horse over a trip, other than Willie, who seems to be sticking the knife in with the 2 mile angle.
I think you're out of a mare who stays 3 miles. Yeah, it should add up.
It should help. I tend to agree. I'm a little bit lukewarm on this. If Fasal Vega runs, I'm in, shall we say? And in true Michael Fish fashion, I will be keeping an idea on the weather, because there is an absolute lurker in here at the moment who's pretty much outsider of the field, but Colonel Harry. For the Jamie Snowden team, he hasn't got all that much to find on figures. I think he's got about £7 to find with Ginny's Destiny, but he's an out-and-out mudlark. They ran him at Sandown last time out in the Scilly Isles. He was taken off his feet. He looked like being detached and racing the ambulance, but he flew home up the hill on that occasion. That was far too quick a ground for him. He won the Towton in an absolute bog. If he gets some proper soft ground, so we are guessing with the weather, but he will get the green light, and he's one of those mudlarks I think you come alive if the rains do materialise. So, at this stage, I'm kind of Fasal Vega with an asterisk, as you say, because there's still a big unknown kind of scene to the whole race, isn't there? But I think it will be a single-figure field. But if we did end up with soft ground on the Thursday, it'd be remiss of me to let Colonel Harry go off unbacked, and I could see him being a bit the hipster choice on the day, because everyone will tag on to the fact his form in the mud is pretty good. So, fascinating to see how this shapes up, but I think this will cut up dramatically.
Ed, knowing you, your choice is always the hipster choice, so no surprise there. 50-1, best price, that is for Skybet, Paddy's, Unibet, and a couple of others, I'm sure that will shorten if the rain does come. Just looking at the exchange market as well, money queuing for Fasal Vega, 6.6, 7, 7.4. Money queuing for Oroco, 7.2, 7.6.
So some ask with Oroco though, wouldn't it? Mm. It's almost kind of well chief territory, but not quite. One chase start in November. He might get away with it. The fact this does look, inverted commas, a below par renewal, doesn't it? And it's a bit of a minefield. But
do you want that door a horse who's like been well held in his last couple of races with no real excuses in Fasal Vega?
I probably would, because I'd argue Fasal Vega's back class probably entitles him for a little bit more, as Oroco won a handicap hurdle.
I think Fasal Vega's soft as well, to be honest. Yeah. I think every time, he was left, he didn't find a great deal last year. And if Oroco and him are coming to the last,
right.
They're
the same price. I'd have match bet Fasal Vega to beat Oroco.
If they're coming to the last upside, absolutely. I'll be texting you at the time.
Right, on to the Potemps. And I'm going to ask Johnny to read out the name of the favourite here so I don't butcher it, please. This is the use of having you.
Oh, Gwaekul,
Gwaekul.
So,
rather nice to be saying Gaioth Cull.
Yeah, it's a horse by Harazand, actually, who has surprised me a little bit. And it'd be interesting to see Ted Walsh and the famous Al Ella colours. I'm not bad at Irish, actually, but Gwae is wind and Cule is... I'm not sure, actually. Yeah. So if something wins, I should know this.
Amazing start. I'm not bad at Irish.
And you know half as much as
England. Yeah. So TG Carr, like the Irish station, it does like a lot of racing now coverage. And if you have any Irish at all, you have a chance of getting it. But my Irish isn't good enough, so I need to book up my days. Anyway, this race, Foxy Jack's talking to Mouse Morris in recent days. It looks like Mouse is making the point that this could be the first time ever the cross-country track is actually the heaviest part of Cheltenham, which is quite mad. So he's kind of worried about that for Foxy Jacks. So I'm not sure exactly where he's going. I actually quite like him in the cross-country race if he goes to that. Whether he's good enough to win this, he's given 131 when he ran in Ireland the last year. He was 123 behind Grey Cule. But he's in great nick. He's a horse that has his own ideas. I could see him run well, but Noble Birth is interesting, and the last time I remember him being in Britain, Eric McNamara has been, Connor's kind of helped him a little bit with training of some of the horses. Now Connor is probably going to go down the road of training, and Phelan Cunningham, who would have been, he's still involved in the kind of the betting industry, he set up this inbound syndicate, and they've done really well with horses that they've gotten from other yards. Noble Birth is out of the handicap at Nace. The last year was unfancied. He beat Cletus Pulo, Desert Moor House, and Emancipator. And wait till I tell you, it is rock solid form. He's very likely raised for the yard. And given he was out of the handicap that day, and he won off 117, I think he's actually done well to get in here off 129. Really interesting runner, and got a pretty good positive from Phelan as well. But I would be concerned. I don't think this horse wants the ground to get too soft by Nathaniel.
16-1 Noble Birth. That's with Paddy's, Betfair Sportsbook, Coral and a few others. The most places you're getting at the moment is 5. I'm sure that will change as we get closer to Thursday. I'll go through the market quickly. Gaith Cole, 8-1. 17-2 Chantry House, 9-1. Cletus Pulo.
It's interesting how Cletus Pulo is so much shorter than him, despite the fact he beat him the last day.
Ikar Allen is 9-1. Springwell Bay, 12-1. Gabby's Cross, 12-1. White Rhino, 14-1. Cuthbert Dibble, 14-1. 16-1. Farrick Delane. Noble Birth, we've mentioned, 20-1, bar those. Ed, is this a case where you just look at the Irish runners and ignore the rest and in the Potemps?
No, total opposite. I'm with the home team in this one. I think there are a couple. I've got one at either end of the spectrum. I've kind of gone 2 Vida Field, anti-post. I'll start with the established performer, the 10-year-old Chantry House. Mm. Comes alive at this venue, kind of layman's terms, but if you take out the pulled up in the Gold Cup when he was lame and his leg went, form figures of 1-1-3, 1-3-3 at the track, including a win in the Turners, third to Shishkin in the Supreme. He's won a Cotswold Chase. He absolutely loves it at Prestbury Park, and I think the worry at the time of this recording is some of the Seven Barrows outfit haven't really been firing on all cylinders.
A lot of PU.
Yeah, a few PUs. But that aside, and on the assumption that by the Thursday everything's in working order with the yard, off 143, considering 18 months ago he was rated 162 as a chaser. I mean, he's officially £12 low over hurdles relative to his chase mark. It's a very well handicapped sort who's essentially yet to finish out the three every time he's rocked up to Prestbury Park. He jumps well, he stays, he's got everything in his favour. And although he is 10, he's relatively likely raced for a 10-year-old. You know, this is not a hurdle who's been, you know, doing the circuits for 4 or 5 years. And you would argue he's got a lot of upside off 143, especially, as I say, given his chase ratings are stone higher. So I've got him on side. Then the horse, I think, is the joker in the pack who... he's got me rather torn inside here, George. Is Springwell Bay for the John Joe O'Neill team. Obviously, the John Joe yard have got a very good record in this race. Saint Connections won this with Hollywell going back a few seasons ago. Now, he absolutely bolted up in the Coral Cup course and distance back at the November meeting under 12 stone on deep ground. Since he's got up to 3 miles, it hasn't quite clicked. He fell in a hole on New Year's Day on heavy ground over 3. At Musselburgh on a flat track over 3, he looked as though he just about got the trip. He's going to run here unless the ground turns out an absolute swamp, of which he probably would revert back to the 2.5 miles. All his pedigree is kind of Blackjack Ketchum part 2, and that 3 miles should suit him. But he is totally unexposed, and if the ground is riding pretty decent by the Thursday, I don't think there'll be anything that will travel as well into the race as he does. He's such a strong traveller. He's around the 12-1 mark. I think he's one of those that, as they're coming into the home straight, your ticket will still be alive. Whether the old petrol light comes on up the hill, we shall see. But so two horses at either end of the spectrum. Chantry House, they've been there and done it with the Cheltenham Festival winning form in the book. Springwell Bay, very untapped potential. Saying Jonjo O'Neill doesn't have a huge string to bring to Cheltenham, but you always look out for their runners. He has a very good strike rate for what he actually sends there. And I think it's four times he's won the Per Attempts final. So it's a race he knows how to get the job done in. So they're my two versus the field at this stage.
Chantry House, 17-2, stand out with BetMGM and BetUK. Springwell Bay, 12-1. That's with Coral and Bet365 and a couple of others there too. Andy, how do you see the Per Attempts?
It's a slightly different feel to it than normal, in the sense that we haven't got like a Gordon Elliott in inverted commas, relatively short one or a strongly fancied one that's run an eye-catching race in the Per Attempts qualifier at Leopardstown, which was the route to riches for many years, your Delta Works, your Sardar Burleigh. Geoff Kill won it this year, and it's interesting that seven out of the last eight Irish train winners of the Per Attempts have run in that Leopardstown qualifier. Geoff Kill, as I said, won it. She's up to now looked at a bit of a Leopardstown specialist. I think that's fair comment, isn't it, Johnny? She seems to come alive there more than any other track. So whether she handles Cheltenham is clearly open to question. But she's a talented mare. She travels strongly. And on the basis of her winning that trial, that certainly has to stand her in some kind of good stead. I agree with Ed regards Springwell Bay. He comes out of the strongest UK qualifier at Musselburgh on the time figures. That was an exceptionally run race. Curly Finger made all the running. It was the fastest time on the card. And the final circuit was also quicker than the two-mile hurdle races on the card. I think Leori
and Paul Nichols,
Panjari or something like that. Curly Finger was comparable to those two, which is always a sign of a good three-mile race. And I've noticed that two winners have come out of it already. Curly Finger himself at Doncaster last weekend, or the weekend before, and Noble Berth, who finished eighth or ninth, has also franked the form. So it's strong form, that Musselburgh race, without a shadow of a doubt. So Springwell Bay does get his conditions. I think he's got to be on anyone's shortlist, put it like that. The other one I'll throw into the mix as well is an Irish trained horse. Be remiss of me not to mention one that I think has been laid out for the race, and that's Gabby's Cross. Henry de Bromhead doesn't normally have runners in this race or target one in particular.
I'm not sure he's had a runner in the race.
I've struggled to try and find one. I'm sure he has, but it wouldn't be one that is as standout as this one. But he was second in their qualifier back in November. He hasn't run since. To very well handicapped horse that Johnny will know, Jody Ted. I think it's about a 130-140 horse over fences, and he got in off about 112 and absolutely filleted them, to be honest, that day. But Gabby's Cross chased him home, and he was a long way clear of the rest. Again, I've looked through the way that race has worked out. It's worked out good. And he was also second to Buddy One. Mm. I mean, Buddy One's, again, he's a 150 horse now, and he bolted up Cheltenham early on in the year of one in something in 140. So you could see why Henry's looked at that and thought, oh, we better protect that. Mm. And he hasn't run it since.
So it's funny, it's his only entry as well, because he could
have gone chasing. Exactly. So, I mean, he's been 25, 33, like, three or four weeks ago. All of a sudden now, he's like 12s. Mm. I haven't got any fancy prices about him before I crow about, you know, here's my 33-1 docket. But, yeah, those would be the two I'd be most interested in at this moment. Gabby's Cross and Springwell Bay. Come along with Ed.
12-1 the pair. As I said, I've already mentioned the West Springwell Boy. You're getting 12-1. Gabby's Cross with Coral, with Ladbrokes, and with VBet. 11-1 and 10-1 elsewhere. And he's two in the Per Attempts. On then to the Ryanair Chase, where, El Fabiolo is in at 7-4. But, you know, this is, again, the non-run, no-bet markets. But in all truth, we've got Banbridge in as the 3-1 favourite. Envoy Allen, 7-2. Stage Start, 9-2. Fast or Slow in there at 5-1 currently, but again trading triple figures on the exchange. Conflated 8-1, Capodanno 8-1, Phil Dore 12-1, Protector at 14-1, Appreciate It 20-1, and Bar those 20-1 as well, Fugitive, Ahoy Senor, and a few others. Ed, another race that's going to cut up quite a lot.
Yeah, I haven't actually done the line on this, but it's going to be around that kind
what
of.
What were you thinking?
No, yeah. I know. It's going to happen. I'm not doing my research, am I? Really? Yeah, why am I here? Yeah.
Antiques Roadshow. Yeah. 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 That. Yeah.
It's absolutely riveting. The other night. Yeah. Abyssinian pottery, really good. Yeah, this is a mess, isn't it? I'm well in on board with Banbridge on the assumption the old the Gloucester Dalsole moves in, and we get some decent ground. Of course, he was pulled out on the morning of the Chantler Festival last year when Joseph walked the course at 7 a.m. said, "Nah, this is far too soft, forget it." This really is a head scratcher. Banbridge wants good ground. Envoy Allen's 10 hasn't won a race since he won this last year. Stage Star arrives on the back of being pulled up. Conflated, I don't know really. He was going the cross country route. He wasn't quite a Gold Cup horse. This is now seems a bit of an afterthought. A Capodanno might run here. Will he be outpaced? Phil Dawes' raw form is about stone, at least below what is needed to be getting competitive. You're then into Fugitive, who's a very good handicapper. And I think Garlaw and Protectorat, the other two, aren't they? Protectorat probably wants it over this trip and absolutely bottomless. And Garlaw is going to be supplemented on the back of winning the handicap on trials day. Absolute head scratcher. So I think Banbridge is the class act in here. To see off Pick Doherty, a race fit Pick Doherty in his own backyard at Kempton, that's pretty smart for me. You can almost upgrade that even more than it was, if you see what I'm saying. We know Banbridge acts at Cheltenham. It's just this. I don't know whether they're getting really dogmatic over the ground, because looking back through, he has got some kind of form with cut. And you know, some horses suddenly become pigeonholed into, they must have this. But connections do seem to be kind of living by the sword and saying, you know, if it is genuine soft ground on the morning, we will not run him. And we'll wait for entry. And they said that before last year, and everyone's kind of like, yeah. And then when it came to the morning, he didn't run. That was the truth. So, yeah, very much a weather watch for me. I just think it's an absolute muddle of horses who are past it, arrive on the back of deplorable efforts, trying to scrap around and find some form. It's a real mess. I think Banbridge, good to soft ground, runs, I think he'll destroy him. But on the basis of it lobs it down the night before, he won't run, and in which case I have no view on it. So Banbridge with an asterisk for me.
But Banbridge, but wait till the day.
Yeah, I'd rather, I mean, was he now 3-1? Yeah. I'd rather back him at 7-4, yeah. Knowing the ground's like a runway, and I'd plough him.
3-1, that's with Coral, MGM, BetUK, Ladbrokes. But, you know, the advice here being to buy your time. Andy, how do you see this?
Yeah, or just go non-runner, no bet if you're prepared to pay premium, because I think he will be very strong in the market if the ground is anywhere near in his favour. It's probably one of the most ground-related races, this, to be honest, particularly from an older horse, grade one chase. A lot of the other races, it wouldn't really matter one way or the other, but I think this one is very, very key for punters to kind of like perhaps wait, because I don't think the prices are going to adjust too much as it stands at the moment, because there's still going to be a decent sized field anyway. You might nick one from 16s into 12s or whatever, but by and large, I think you're better off just probably sitting on your hands. A couple of interesting stats floating around for this race. Most of the winners of this race tend to either make all of the track leaders or race prominently. Which is indicative of that round track, I think, on the new course. I think I've talked about with you, George, loads of times when we've previewed our trials day. I said, whatever you do, you've got to be on front, as you know, Ginny's Destiny, boom, out in front.
Didn't mention how Hoy Senor actually sounds like he's going to run and he will front run.
There's a lot of pace pressure on here, but you've got to be up on horse up with the pace. Another stat as well, that the last 8 winners ran in the last 2 festivals. So Cheltenham Festival form is absolutely crucial. I mean, Banbridge is...
He's won at Cheltenham,
but he hasn't run in a festival yet. Yeah. He won the boys' race. So he kind of loosely fits into that. So on balance, weighing it up here and now, looking at perhaps the forecast and what, I think Protectorat has got to fit into a lot of those categories. He's run in the last 2 festivals. He ran in the Gold Cup, finished 3rd to a Plutard, 5th in it last year. He's looked this season like... not a blatant non-stayer, but he's always just been outstayed by something when he's tried 3 miles against the very best, particularly on heavy ground, like Lampresse got the better of him, etc., etc. But you go back and look at all of his 2.5 mile form, particularly here at Cheltenham, in those hot handicaps when he was working his way up the ranks, and you forget, you know, kind of like how good he can be. And so I don't think he's had such a bad season. He should be 14-1 at the moment. I think he's run respectably all the time. And We know he loves Cheltenham. We know he loves this track. Yards in great nick. He's the right age as well. I think the last 11 winners have all been aged between 7 and 9, so that kind of like makes life a little bit more difficult for Envoy Allen, if you're a fancy of him. I just think he's been underestimated here, Protectorat. So, from an each-way perspective, he would definitely be one I'd be interested in, particularly on the day, if some firms were offering four, maybe five places, depending on how many horses ended up running.
12 and a half runners is my line. On
this that's
he might get four places, possibly, if a couple sit their neck out. Well, 14 to 1, Protectorat is. That's with 365.
Yep.
And BetMGM and BetUK.
Fugitive, if you absolutely like, you know, threw it down all week and it was genuinely soft stroke heavy, because, again, he would want it more like that than most. And he's a strong stayer at that trip. So he's one to have a look at a wild price, if the ground shifted the other way.
Johnny?
Yeah, it is a race in which the ground is key to the narrative, but Envoy Allen, it actually won't really matter to him. And he's trying to think of a football analogy for him. Like, maybe he's like a Paul Pogba or something, where like he's achieved great things.
Well, hang on a minute. Is he banned? What are you trying to say?
He's not in Carcass or anything like that. But he was like thought of as like the best thing ever. And he's had a great career, but it's kind of like people are a bit harsh on him now.
He's never really got the credit in many ways.
No, and since the move from, I mean, you got to think where he was when he was at Gordon's on his last day. He was, and Richard Forrest spoke about this in the race post this week, these horses that we anoint as the next big thing, generally it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And he was in the category, but when he won the Cheltenham Bumper, and he's the most gorgeous looking horse, and that when you add all these things together, and he's probably not straightforward because he's had too many sort of indifferent runs for it not to be the case, but his form in the race last year, his performance in the race last year, when he's completed at Cheltenham, his form was 1-1-3-1. And the day he was third, he didn't really run his race, or maybe went a bit too hard over 2 miles. His run behind Jerry Calom was excellent at Down Royal. I know Jerry Calom like made a mistake at the last and he still won, but he's a really good horse still. He's been kept fresh for the race. And as the lads are saying, if you get four places, I'm kind of contradicting myself here, because he does have the tendency to disappoint on occasion, but I see so much positive in him, and he will be fine on the ground. You might get 4-1, four places on the day. I would say that's a knock and bet, because his form in the race last year is still exceptionally good. Like you can say maybe Shishkin wasn't quite his best that day, but he beat him quite readily. And I think Henry will have exactly in mind what he had for this horse all season, keep him fresh for the race. I think he'll be banged there, regardless of what the ground is.
Envoy Allen there is 7-2 to retain his crown. 7-2 is basically there with most firms. But as Johnny says, maybe wait to the day and you can get some each-way thievery if there are any extra places on offer. Before we get to the stayers hurdle, it's time to tell you about Oddschecker's free-to-play bingo game for the Cheltenham Festival. When you play the game, you'll receive a bingo card full of horses racing on each day at the Cheltenham Festival. You'll then win prizes as your horses win or place in the races. The top prize is tickets to the Grand National Festival, and all you need to enter is an Oddschecker account, so sign up or log in and play for free. Over to the stayers now, where we have got, if it'll load for me, yep. Tiapu is the 9-4 favourite ahead of Irish Point at 4-1, Crambo 11-2, Noble Yates 9-1, Sir Gerhard 10-1, Flooring Porter 12-1, Monkfish 14-1, Paisley Park 16-1, Home by the Lee 16-1, Side of Burley 20-1, Champ 33s, Dashiell Dasher 33s, 40-1 bar those. Andy, this is a race that you've had mixed fortunes within recent years.
Just a little bit, yeah. Ronald Pump was the one I'm still recovering from.
Yeah, and how are you feeling about the 2024 renewal?
Fairly confident, actually. It's one of those ones where, you know, they ask jockeys way in advance and they say, oh, I wouldn't swap him for anything. And as a punter, the one I've backed here, I wouldn't swap him for anything either. Sometimes you look at the anti-post bet you've had and you think, I'm not so sure now. And you end up backing something else because your confidence wanes. But I'm a massive fan of Crambo. I like his trajectory this season. Haydock was his only bump in the row, but he should have won that day. The track was just way too tight for him. And he's not the kind of horse that will sort of manoeuvre his way around that kind of sharp circuit, like Aintree last year when he...
He's a bit of a unit, isn't he?
He's like a bull, isn't he? He actually was running all right at Aintree when a horse fell in front of him and it went out of camera shot and you couldn't quite see what happened, but the report said afterwards that he got badly hampered So I don't think he ran quietly as that badly behind Irish points as the form figures suggest, if you think he's not quite up to that level. But he's definitely improved throughout the season. His victory over Paisley Park last time out suggests he has now arrived on the scene. You could look at that and think, well, he's only beaten Paisley Park. But Paisley Park is kind of like the pivot that this sort of race revolves around in many respects. He ties in with a hell of a lot of horses. And even at 12, he's still running as well as far as I could see. It wouldn't surprise me if he was to, you know, run well again. But Crambo always looked as though he was going to win that day in the long walk at Ascot. Never any point at that race did I think, no, he's in trouble. And Cheltenham is absolutely tailor-made for him. That's that long run from two out down to the line, up the hill, he just keeps galloping. When others have cried enough, Crambo will just keep churning out the fractions. So I think whatever beats Crambo will probably win. If it's to Hoopoo, fair play to him, because I think he's going to have to go deep to beat him. And there is a slight issue maybe whether he does or he doesn't. And, you know, kind of like the others are just all pretty much much of a muchness, aren't they, you know? I don't think there's a massive improver. You think, oh, yeah. But Crambo's at the point of his career now where I think he's still massively on the up. Either others are flatlined or they're on the way down. So 11-2, I think he's a really strong each-way pick.
11-2 with Sky Bet Paddy's, Betfair Sportsbook, and a couple of others. I mean, just given that the form line ties in with Paisley Park, and you've already mentioned Paisley Park is still maybe as good as ever, given his festival form, surely that 16-1 is a huge price.
Absolutely, and as I said, we might get a big field on the day. I'm not sure what Ed's line is on this one.
13.5, I've got on
yeah,
this one.
Yeah, well, yeah. Guaranteed to be five places, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's one to be...
This could all be wrong, by the way, but yeah.
Well, at the moment, three places, you think, yeah. Well... You'd rather take, say, 12-14-1 on the day and go five places.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that Paisley Park will fill one of those positions. So he's one perhaps to have a fiddle around with from a each-way multiple perspective.
Johnny, how do you see the stairs?
It's the best week all year to have a bet because you have, as the lad says, you have...
I think everyone in the world agrees.
So yeah, it's fine. Just... It's for the absolute emotional attachment of getting involved at Cheltenham. Secondly, for the fact that the guys say you will get like really good terms, you'll get, you know, bookies taking each other on, and then you've done Dundalk on the Friday evening. I mean, it's what more do you want?
Like, if everything what's not to like, eh?
You're on the boat on the way home, you're like, lads, it's okay. Yeah. I have one in the last Dundalk, the divided 0-60. Yeah. But Tiopu, and this actually has happened before, but Tiopu, for me, this is a horse that I think they might slightly take on in the day because my inkling is that Monkfish. Talk about this later on the show. I think my inkling is Monkfish is going to go Gold Cup, but Florin Porter for sure comes here, which so you have positives and negatives, but Florin Porter is going to at least kind of ensure a good pace. I think Andy's been a little bit hard on Tiopu in terms of does he want it or not. It wasn't Davy's finest festival last year, let's be honest. I mean, he got beaten on horses that definitely should have won. Whether he's one of them or not is up for debate, and he'll have to improve in that form because I don't think Sorry to Burley is going to win the stairs this year. But it was interesting that before Annie's chat of Constitution Hill, off the top of my head, Jack was going to ride Tiopu over Irish Point, who I think would have a serious shout in this race. Loads of speed, particularly if the ground is good. But like you now run the champion hurdle, but he was going to ride Tiopu anyway. I think he's perfect for the race. You're just hoping for sort of, you know, maybe get 5-2 threes on the day. He's perfect for the race. He's going to run an absolute blinder for all that I do respect the opposition.
Tiopu 9-4 currently, but as Johnny says, maybe whole fire could drift as we get closer to Thursday. Ed?
I'd be nervous with Tiopu, especially if the ground did dry up to the back end of the week.
That is a big thing.
Couldn't get the job done last year against Sardar Burley on pretty soft, gluey ground, yet for there were, you know, debates about whether the race went his way or not. I'm kind of two versus the field. Crambo, my next best in, if you like, because for the main point, Andy says, he's the unexposed young legs. Whereas there are a lot of others horses in here who have plateaued, or at least you've got a fair barometer as to where you are with them in their career. But it's rant time because I think the forgotten horse of the entire Cheltenham Festival runs in this race, and that is Sir Gerhard, who's...
I thought you were going to say home by the Lee, right?
No. On his last year's
eye-catching. Sir Gerhard is literally a million to get home. A million. Right. So I'll give you like...
Okay.
Yeah, a million. So
you're going to be a million. You're going to be a million to one.
He'll absolutely be outstayed. He has no chance of having the stamina in a race like this.
Okay, right. Well, I think...
This is the man who told us he laid Trapattoni 190s for the Iron Job.
Not a million, though. Well, I think Segal's a serious player in this. I do, really do. I think this is... He is a horse who has been priced up by Preview Knights and the Twitterati, and he reminds me very much of a horse go back 7 years ago called Nichols Canyon. And I was on every single Preview Night, and Nichols Canyon, yeah, won't stay, forget it. Right, moving on, Nichols Canyon, won't stay, forget it. Moving on, moving on. You know, he was a 2 mile. He ran in the Irish Champion Hurdle coming into this. He drifted to 10 to 1 on the day. Ruby Walsh, Willie Mullins, every terrestrial television preview. Oh, he won't stay. Ruby will do well to smuggle him into fourth. Came there, hit the hill, flew up it. Ruby said he improved £10 for the trip.
Had he run over the trip before?
No, I think he'd run in America over two...
Well, this horse has run twice over 3 miles. And he's
over fences. And he belted every single fence in the Brown Advisory last year. Yeah. That could have been in the Arkle. He wouldn't have won. It wouldn't have been irrelevant of the trip. And the only ever time he tried 3 miles, it punches down. Henry de Bromhead's horse, Journey With Me, fell in front of him, more or less brought him down, and he was pulled up. I think this is a massive red herring. There's no collateral form. He's never run 3 miles over hurdles. The furthest he's ever gone over hurdles is 2.5 on heavy. And he absolutely bolted up in the Barry Bingham, Gallagher, Ballymore, whatever you want to call it. Okay, and that's the furthest he ever's been. I think he's another Nichols Canyon part two. Solwit, another one the Twitterati got rid of. Oh, he won't get over 2.5 in a horse box. Bolted up the hill. I think on raw ability, he's the best horse in the race. His two best days have come at the Cheltenham Festival. He's come home with 2 grade 1s. Very good horses in that Ballymore, like Stage Star, were coming home behind him with a breathalyzer. I think he's a massive, massive player. I think Townland will be on. He'll be half the price on the day. If he doesn't get up the hill, he doesn't get up the hill. But I think coming into the home straight, he'll be going as well as anything. And I'll put my money where my mouth is. Probably not a million, but I'll...
We'll start panicking if that...
I think he will tank into race. My bottom line, gents, is I think he's been tagged as a non-stayer when there isn't actually any empirical evidence to suggest he doesn't yet stay 3 miles over hurdles. He's had 2 starts at 3 other fences, of which he more or less fell in both, well, he did more or less fall in both of those occasions, and the trip was irrelevant. Now, if he gets a clear round, all things equal, and doesn't get home, fair enough. But I think, final point on this, imagine you said 18 months ago, 50 to 1 handicapper Noble Yates would be going off the same price to win a Grade 1 at the Cheltenham Festival with Sir Gerhard, you know, multiple Grade 1 winner. You would have said it's one flew over the cuckoo's nest kind of territory.
He makes a good point. He's wrong, but he makes a good point.
I think he's a massive price. I really think he's the forgotten horse of the festival, and I'm getting him off.
That may happen. It will be kind of ground lined as well in the sense, but I should mention.
Oh, it became a bog.
I should mention Home by the Lee. I know Andy was a fan of this horse. The last day was a complete and utter mess. Maybe it was like he just didn't enjoy making the run. And he ran an extraordinary race last year. He was very weak on the day. I was sure he was going to be pulled up after the mistake he made. What was he beaten? 3 3/4 of a length after everything that happened. He's now being kept fresh for the race. I'll definitely be having a saver on him. He stays so well, finds load for pressure, went in with so much upside last year. I forgot to mention him. I know he's had a very, very patchy year, but he's 16s. I have to have 5 each way on him as well, particularly because I've laid the winner at a million.
Are they going to put some headgear on him?
That would make sense to me. Yeah,
he did fly up the hill, didn't he?
He's run as though he's raced a little bit indolently or lazily.
The sixth last year? Bad mistake and mistake. No. We both fancied him. He had to be pulled up, staying on with the four legs.
Home by the Lee, 16 to 1 with Bet365, Coral, and Unibet. And then Cigar Hard.
I sort of see those Cheveley parts. Townend looking around the goggle. Johnny's going to be sweating up. Like he's going to be. Oh,
the price set by the tofu eating Twitter artist, 10 to 1. Bet365, Skybet, and plenty of others as well there. A million with BetJW. On to the plate handicap now, where Cribilli is the 4-1 favourite, ahead of Theatre Man at 6-1. Let's be clear about it. It's 10-1, Madara 12-1, Garlaw 14, Shake 'em Up Harry 14, St. Roth 14, plenty of others, St. Felician 14-1, and plenty of others 16-1 or bigger. We're guessing a little bit here as to who will run, but at this early stage, Andy, who stands out for you in the plate?
Yeah, I mean, the sort of weight of support behind Cribilli is incredibly infectious in some quarters. And certainly from a handicapping perspective, I can see why there is a clamour to sort of take any price that's available. He does, however, have that look about getting to the kind of price which is almost in... silly territory.
He's been pre-United.
Oh, to death, yeah.
Tofu eating. You know.
He's the opposite.
Okay, sorry. Are they different people?
I don't know what he's... he's right, he's a ridiculous prize.
He is, and he's got to prove himself in a big field handicap at Charlton, which he hasn't done. The victory last time was only 3 runners, so he can basically pop around and do what he wants.
It is remarkable how weak markets can be now, that like one strong opinion like David Mullins or... Johnny Dineen, in this instance. At a preview night, halves the price. Because that's literally where the markets are at.
And he could go off him shorter. It's one of those ones where you could easily see, you'd be looking at the board down at the start and you think, 9-4, Crabilli. And you'd be thinking, who's backing this at that price? Yeah. I think he's got the in danger of, like I say, just going completely the other way.
I'll be chasing my million, actually.
Yeah, yeah. but look, you've got to respect him. There's no denying he's one of the most likely winners here based on his form and what he's run against this season. You know, he ties in with Ginny's destiny, of course. But I do think there's another novice in this race equally capable of doing some damage off his rating, and that's Theatre Man, who also ties in with Ginny's destiny. Now, the race on trials day, which I didn't really elaborate on when we covered the first race, the Turners, Ginny's Destiny recorded the fastest furlong per furlong time on the card, much better than the likes of Lossy Mouth and Capodanno, etc., etc. So it was the truest run race, and the form subsequently has worked out as the time figure suggested. Blow Your Wad, who didn't really handle the track, finished 6. He won next time at Kempton, beating a good field. Prairie Wolf, Sue Smith, finished 4th. He was the only one who chased Dinny's Destiny in the early stages and paid for it. He won at Catterick the other day. Even the thing of Ben Paulings, was it Blow Your Bow to Greatness?
But
yeah. He finished 3rd at Kempton next time. So the form of that race, I think, is one of the key components of this race. And that race has also thrown up lots of Cheltenham Festival winners. I remember the thing of Harry Whittington's. Who won that, came here and won the plate, didn't it? Simply the Bets. So it's a really strong novices handicap, that, and it's over the same course and distance. And the strongest finisher in the race, the biggest eye catcher, was Theatre Man. Obviously, they've been umming and ahhing in between times whether to run here, which is the same course and distance, or step him up to the Ultima. I think that's going to be ground related. If it is going to be soft, like it looks likely at this stage, I don't think they'll risk him over 3-mile 1, but they'll come here knowing he's a very strong stayer at this trip.
I think there was a quote from Richard Bandy the other day saying he thinks he's a two strong 2.5 horse rather than a 3. So.
The other upside as well is that he's going to be ridden by Harry Cobden, who I think pound for pound is probably the best jockey riding in the weighing room at the moment, particularly over fencing, particularly at Cheltenham. He's a guy that at least you can rely on seeing a stride all the way around and going in the right place, being on the right part of the track. His overall record is amazing. He's never been at the first 3. And he's one of those sort of sneaky second-season novices that often wins this kind of race. So he's one of my strongest views of the week, actually, Theatre Man. Whether I'll end up napping him or not, I don't know, but he'd certainly be in the conversation.
Lovely stuff, yeah. 6-1 across the board. Would he be backing win only or each way with the kind of 5 places today?
There's no secret, obviously, by the way I'm talking. I've already backed him. Yeah. So the prices I've backed him at, yeah, he was an each-way proposition. And he still is now, to all intents and purposes.
What's the top price he backed at? Let's get the trumpet out.
10.
Okay.
Yeah. So nothing like off the scale. I'm not like, you know, I've got 20-1 like 2 months ago. Obviously slightly better than he is now.
Ed, how do you see it?
I think Crabilli's just got an artificially short price for that. I think he... To be hypocritical, I think he is well handicapped, especially on that Genie's Destiny form off 140, but he jumps like a vending machine. I mean, he jumped awfully at Cheltenham 3 starts ago. He hit everything and then looked to be coming to win the race, admittedly, and then came down. Made more and more mistakes again on his next start at Cheltenham. He'd eat up the ground on the flat, make an error, and that would knock him back. And yeah, then he won a slowly run 3-runner race in heavy ground on Exeter. You'd want to watch him behind the sofa, wouldn't you, at 7-2 in a 24-runner field. He's going to be smuggled into this. So, no strong views. Let's be clear about it, if pushed, would be the one I'd be with. Yeah. I know he's an unusual character, isn't he? He's a 9-year-old novice in that sense, and he's going to have plenty of weight here. I think his Irish mark's 1.52.
And
what
is his trip as well? You're just like...
The stats teams are out to say, I think there's not been a horse's century win above a BHA rating 150 in this race. So he's going to have enough weight. but he's going to go out in front. He's going to jump for fun. He doesn't quite stay three. They thought he could be an Argyle horse. They ran him back, dropped him back to two. He got outpaced and stayed on. I think he's a 2.5 miler. He'll jump for fun. He'll be in the conversation as they come to 2 out, you see what I'm saying? And so I'd much rather back him at the prices than Cribbilly. I think he's more streetwise in terms of how he gets over his obstacles than Cribbilly. For all that, I think Cribbilly's probably better handicapped. I'll be a bag of nerves watching Cribbilly jump in the 24 runner race around Cheltenham. So tentative, let's be clear about it each way.
Let's be clear about it. 10-1 with most first.
The trainer's a genius as well. You just look at his strike rate, Cheltenham.
He was still on the bridle, wasn't he, last year? Turning for home in the Albert Barley. He didn't quite get home. So
10-1 each way. That's my play.
I'm not sure about the jumps for fun thing though. Like, I remember I was at the Dan Moore. He was sloppy at some of the other. Plenty of pace in his jumping that day, but he was sent off 5-4 in the he was sent off 5-4 to beat Ian Maximus that day. He was sent off 5-4 then the handicap to Dan John Moore. It's a really, really strong race. I actually thought he ran well that day. For all that. I'm kind of thinking, does he want 2 miles? Does he want 2.4? But there was one particular jump down the back that he just no chance of getting back into the race. Mm. And he lacked experience for that. Then obviously the last day run him over three. I'm actually going to go with Seddon here, who's completely forgotten about. Won the race last year. He hasn't run over fences since. He's been kept on the same arc. I actually have a leg of a horse with John McConnell, and accordingly he just ignores my texts all the time, including about this. Like, what is the plan with Seddon, John? He just hasn't got back to me. That's probably a good thing, actually. Yeah. So he's been kept over hurdles. He bolted up over hurdles at Punchdown. He's only 6 pounds higher, won very well in the race last year. He's probably going to be about 16s, 20s on the day. And in terms of the preview night circuit, I am interested now, can we get a match bet on the Johnny Dineen versus Andy Holding good things in this race, who will go off favourite? Because Andy's at the moment has plenty of upside at the price.
Oh no, Cribbilly would be favourite. Johnny Dineen will win that,
You would not be certain.
He'll win that battle.
I'd be laying that.
Seddon 18-1 best price, although I have seen been taken out of the exchange market, so I'm not sure if that's an indication of the plans and maybe why you're not
getting. There's a quote that they may wait for entry, whatever that means. Mm.
No bet either way. Yeah. So on to the Mares Novice, and this looks like a cracking renewal of this race. Brighter Days Ahead is the 13-8 favourite, just ahead of Jade de Grugy at 9-4, with Dicer Enos for Fergal O'Brien at 9-2. 12-1, Golden Ace, fun, 20-1, 25-1, bar those ones. Johnny, how do you see it? I mean, this looks, you know, to call it a match would be disrespectful, I think, to Fergal's horse, but two quality operators coming over from Ireland.
Yeah, I don't feel it's a match for all that. Brighter Days Ahead, she's an amazing pedigree, obviously. You know, she's from probably the best jumps racing family, certainly the best one now, possibly ever. What that mare has produced is just off the charts, and she's only five. If her brother is worth all he is, what's she worth? I can't pick a hole in her really, except maybe her price. And you've heard me earlier on about mares races and my thoughts on them. This is actually a very good race, to be honest. And just on the each-way thievery, Dicer Enos for me is bulletproof. I loved her performance here at the December meeting. Travelled away well. Obviously, she was entitled to win the last day. She's been kept for the race very, very crucially as well. She doesn't have the penalty that befalls her two main market rivals, which has been very much part of the plan in terms of how she's been trained. Ultimately, I'm not surprised if Brighter Days Ahead wins, but I'd be amazed if she's not in the first three. She'll be travelling away a bit like a certain Sir Gerhard. She'll be tanking coming to the last. I do like her each way. And that performance at Aintree last year was astounding for her. She's one of these. I remember when she ran in December, I was like, she can't be this price taking on these horses. And she bolted up, and she's done nothing wrong basically since.
So each way back to nothing is kind of the theory, I guess, there. 9-2, that's with Hills and 888 Sport. Ed?
No bet. The race gets crabbed as a spectacle. The race gets crabbed for the fact it's in the calendar, but as a spectacle, by the way the cookies crumble, this is arguably the race on the Thursday, isn't it? Yeah, Brighter Days Ahead, Jade de Grugy, Dicer Enos. Looks an absolute barnstormer, doesn't it? So no, just a race I'll watch, but I'm not getting involved in.
Sit back and relax, Andy. Yep.
It's one race where Andy, I think, really should come into his own, because there's a lot of speculation as to which of these is actually achieving most.
Well, I mean, it's all eye test, isn't it, for us?
Yeah, this whereas over to you, Andy.
Yeah, I think as a speed man, you have to block out all the noise, and you know, preview nights, tend to go into frenzy, don't they? And this has been doing that, this has worked out, and this is the best horse he's ever had, blah, blah, blah. But you just have to go to the facts of what they've done prior to the festival. And the numbers don't normally lie, and they give you an indication of what a horse is capable of. And the hype that surrounds Brighter Days Ahead is actually backed up by our time figures. Her best run that we've got anywhere on the numbers was her victory at Down Royal, when they went a good solid gallop that day, and she just cruised into the race and won as she liked. And then she backed that up at Navan again with another good time. She's gone back to back now in strong times. Her jumping is pretty good, I'd say. I think she made a mistake at the last off memory at Down Royal, but other than that, you can't really fault her in that department. She handles softer ground. She's a strong stayer. She's won over stiff track, galloping tracks, Down Royal and Navan. There's not a great deal to say talk about negatively about her, other than the price. Dysart Enos has got a time figure in comparison to her when she won at Cheltenham early on in the season. She recorded the same speed figure that we've got for Brighter Days Ahead. And those two are the standout performers. So if Johnny's liking Dysart Enos and she's an each-way price, as a time man, you're looking at the value being with Fergal O'Brien's mare at around about 9-2. Jade DeGruzzi hasn't done a time in comparison to them as of yet. I don't think it's been her fault that they've been relatively slowly run. And of course, Willie Mullins has got a better record in this race than Gordon Elliott. I think Gordon Elliott has had quite a few stabs at it with the sort of Apples Jades of this world, and he hasn't managed to master Willie Mullins. I think has won it something like six or seven times at least. So the stats for the trainer winning it and the where it comes from would go towards Jade DeGruzzi. But the numbers that we've got suggest Brighter Days Ahead and Dysart Enos have achieved more at this very moment in time. And looking at the prices, do you go win only Brighter Days Ahead, or do you go each way Dysart Enos? And then you chuck in the fact that Dysart Enos has run at the track. So that's where the value lies. There you go, dissected it for you.
There you go. Brighter Days Ahead is 13-8, but Dysart Enos, seemingly the value. And in agreement with Johnny there.
Was she 9-2?
9-2, yeah. Yeah. With Hills and 888 Sport. The final race on the Thursday, the final race we're going to cover in this show is the Kim Muir. I know the way you're thinking is the 4-1 favourite ahead of Cool Survivor at 8-1. Good Time Johnny, 17-2. Angels Dawn, 10-1. Bow to Greatness and Am I Right? And Waka Clan, or 14-1. We've all been caught Forward Plan, Daily Present, Rapper, or 16-1, 20-1 bar those. Andy, we'll stick with you for the finale.
Yeah, I know the way you're thinking, favourite. I mean, he's probably one of the best horses that's likely ever run in this race based on his run behind Gaelic Warrior and Alete Tomp at Leopardstown. But
Did he last win?
Yeah, Limerick, I say. It's the trip for me with him. It's going to be a bruising encounter. The Kim Muir often is. It's the way the race is ridden and the jockeys involved just tend to go way too quick. It's a survival of the fittest at the end of it. So whether I'd want to be taking 4-1 about him, even though he's the best horse in the race, he's open to question. He'll obviously be assisted by, I think, Derek O'Connor, but perhaps I don't know that. But that would be the way of thinking.
He's from that family as well. He's a brother to Limerick Lace, and Spades of Trump's his half brother. So the stamina is definitely there on pedigree.
If that's look, he's one of those ones that could easily just make a mockery of this race, but I think there perhaps might be slightly better value to be had. I respect Angels Dawn, who won it last year, travelled great, and she ran really well in, I think it was the Thyestes last time. She went all the way around, not on the best part of the track as well, I thought.
100%.
She perhaps could have done a little bit better, but it was a really good run in a race that sorts of wheat from the chaff, so I'd certainly give her a mention. And Waka Clan's the other interesting one. Johnny will know this horse quite well. I think, am I looking right? Waka Clan, has it been taken out? No, it's still here. Yeah. It does need a few to drop out. I thought it was very interesting that Henry de Bromhead ran this horse over in a 2-mile hurdle last time. Mm. He's not normally one you'd associate with that kind of cuteness. But he won over the track early on in the season when he beat Twig. So he's got a Cheltenham experience. He's a prominent racer, let's say. So that's gives him an advantage of not being involved in, sort of bumper car matches towards the back end of the field. And like I say, I like his prep. So he's one I'd probably have a little bit of a look at on the day, but I'm certainly not going to be at this very moment in time, looking at this race, to stick anything up on my column.
Your Waka Clan 14-1 best price with Coral and Ladbrokes. Ed?
One notebook course here. We've all been caught for Nigel Twiston Davis. He's entered in the Ultima. Probably wouldn't get into that. Might not get into this. But if the horse did sneak in, he's also had a lot of issues for a young horse. A fibrillating heart after being beaten at Cheltenham in the December meeting. But he did win a grade two over hurdles at the venue. And he's got one standout piece of novice chase form earlier in the season, in the October meeting, where he was beaten 3.5 lengths by Florin Porter with Broadway Boy just ahead of him. Well, Florin Porter's rated 151 over fences. Broadway Boy, 150 over fences. We've all been caught be getting here off 134. He is a slow grinding boat, to put it politely. He's a national type, and as Andy alluded to, they go off a million miles an hour, a bit of adrenaline rush for some of the jockeys. And I think the new course, 3.25 miles or thereabouts, much more his bag. I was thinking where he's on the list. He's going to need at least a dozen to come out to get in. There's a chance he could sneak in here. And I think the race would be run to suit. He doesn't do anything in a hurry. But on the collateral form basis of that one run behind Florin Porter and Broadway Boy, he was upside, so he was staying on behind them. And he's over a stone on his official rating lower than them. So if he runs and sneaks in, I would be very interested. Incidentally, if he's running the Ultima, I would have no view on him in the Ultima at all, because I think he'd be taken off his feet on the old course. So... yeah, we've all been caught, asterisk if declared.
16-1, best price, that's with Skybet. We've all been caught. Most firms, I should say, paying five places at the moment. Johnny, take us out.
This is just a fantastic race. I love the angles. Like, and I spoke to Gavin Cromwell. I'm not sure he's going to run Percival of Galois. And I looked into this. They reckon, or I'm told anyway, they reckon his rating is too high because he was 135 the last day in Ireland. But if you watch the way he came to the last, he was basically going to win.
He would have won one easily.
And yeah. I think Andy tipped up Hartwood, or certainly was very strong in Hartwood for our preview that time. I still think Percival of Galois would have won. So if that's off 135,
he's been ruled out, hasn't he?
He's only £9 higher here. So he said, so it's like, if he's not going to run here, how well in is I know the way you're thinking? Because Percival of Galois could well win the Irish National, right? I don't know what the Irish handicapper should have checked this. I don't know what he did to him, but he should have gone up for that. But he would only be £9 higher. Now, if I were the Irish handicapper, I'd have made him £9 higher in Ireland, not to mind off the same mark here, which would have been his mark. So for me, he would be crying out to be backed. So how good is I know the way you're thinking. But the horse here that the lads haven't mentioned, who's obviously been named after me,
you, yeah.
is Good Time Johnny. Johnny, yeah. Now, I'm going to contradict myself here. This horse is clearly going to win, right? But he has the most disgraceful chase mark that has ever been given to any horse. It is literally making a complete mockery of handicapping. It is a joke that you can give a horse this mark, because his race mode ratings over fences are 85, 101, 117 when he was 27 lengths behind Hartwood. Considering we already mentioned the horse ahead of him fell at the last, who would have beaten him 30 lengths, who was given £2 higher than him. £2 higher would have beaten him 30 lengths. The last day he ran to apparently 87, and he's given him 142. Like, how that is not how you cannot handicap a horse based on that's like saying, you know what, I don't like the look of you, I'm just going to throw you in jail, right? I don't like the look of you. There's something about you.
You speak from experience.
Is it Good Time Johnny? It's like, how can you give him this mark? And the reason is because he won off 142 last season at the Cheltenham Festival. He doesn't jump well enough. He doesn't have enough experience. He's been given a terrible mark. He's going to win.
He's going to win?
Yeah.
Off a terrible mark.
It's a Tony Martin job.
So how far would he win by if he'd been handicapped accordingly?
I'm not sure who's going to ride him. How far would he win? But he wouldn't get into the race.
Yeah, that's true.
He literally couldn't get into the race. Like, no, you should have done that, Tony. We're giving you 107, right? You're going to be £85 out of the handicap and you're still going to win. He needs to jump better, but you still have to have a few quid in him because he won at the festival last year. It's a cracking race, so I'd be amazed I know Ed's given a couple of nice mentions to the home horses. Ireland is 100% going to win this race. There are too many good horses in it. Angel's Dawn, who won it last year, £10 higher, obviously. She's one of five horses by Yates in this race, which is no coincidence as well, because you're going to have to stay, which is the proviso for I know you're thinking, but good time, Johnny, for me. I can't wait for this race, just to see what the crack is. Last race, day three, the handicapper is going to say I was right. You weren't right. You can't say something in hindsight. You cannot handicap horses based on what you think might happen. When you're supposed to handicap horses on form, at the same time, he's going to win.
That is the first time. We've been doing the show for, what, 5-6 years, Andy? That's the first time I've ever heard someone justify a selection by saying how bad the handicap is.
For all the wrong reasons.
I like it.
It will be one of those ones where good time Johnny jumps the last and powers up the hill in front.
But also,
you'd be possibly riderless.
Yeah. you'd be casting your mind back.
It's a big Thursday for you, isn't it, Johnny? Yeah.
You'd be casting your mind back to that run last time at Fairy House when he was literally walking at the back of fences behind. Was it Intense Raffles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just could not pick its feet up. And yet, you'd like in last year's Pertemps, totally resurrected.
But you say the handicapper will say, I was right. You won't be right if he wins. Wouldn't have put him high enough.
But it's not. You can't handicap something on the basis of horses improve. That's the point of racing. You can back. You can handicap a horse who ran one race. He won a maiden or she won a maiden. I'm giving you a mark of 87. I could be miles off because you've opened to improve. You can't. It makes an absolute. The Grand National has made a mockery of handicapping since they did all this nonsense with compressing the weights and all this crap. You handicap horses based on what they've achieved, not what you think they might do on a big day. That's what handicapping is. It's up to the stewards on the day to say whether or not the horse was running on his or her merits. It's not the handicapper's job to do that. And it's a real bugbear of mine because it makes a mockery of the whole system.
Right, I think it's a whole other podcast we can do on that. On that note... Thank you very much for watching this day three preview of Cheltenham Festival. We're going to record our Friday now, Gold Cup Day, so make sure you check that out. Subscribe to the Odds Checker YouTube channel, where you can find lots of Odds Checker betting shows and Racing Weekly as well. So check that out. Download the Odds Checker app for all of the best prices. Book your offers free bets, and you'll find Andy's tips for every day of the Cheltenham Festival straight to the app as well. Thank you to Ed. Thank you to Andy. Thank you to Johnny. Thank you for watching. Enjoy the Cheltenham Festival, and please do ensure that you're gambling responsibly. We'll be right back.